Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on. For those of you listening on the Internet Highway, thank you very much for that. And for those that are posting over at Facebook Soccer Matters, we appreciate that. And on Twitter and Instagram, this correspondence and this conversation is what this show is all about. By the way, if you're over on Facebook Soccer Matters, check out our shop. Go in there. We got the beautiful T-shirts in different colors, and these T-shirts, 20% goes back to the 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. Next interview brought to you by Cube 57, home of your Houston Dynamo. Join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bravado, and myself. We are proud to bring you coverage of the Dynamo throughout the year here in 2019. Perfect segue into learning about a Swedish defender. Left back, has been capped by Sweden. He is Adam Lundqvist. He joins us now.
So the first thing I always like to say when looking at new players and where did the passion, the fire for the game come from for Adam Lundqvist?
I believe the passion, I've always been a very bad loser. Is that what you say? Like, I hate to lose. When I was young, I started crying every time I was losing, and I remember my dad was giving me all kinds of trouble because he didn't like me crying. But then I think it's from the family. My dad is also a very sore loser, and it's like when you can see that the family dinners or when we have some game time at home, it gets pretty serious. But I think it's just within myself, just the passion, like not wanting to lose and leave everything on the field. I think that's the thing.
And then how about football? What was your first football experience that said, hey, this is my game, this is the game I want to play?
I remember, like, when I was growing up, I tried a bunch of sports. I was into hockey. Ice hockey is very big in Sweden. My dad was
a good hockey
player. Yeah. My dad was a hockey player when he was younger, so he wanted me to play hockey. But then growing up, I started playing football, and in the summers, I always went out to my grandmother, my grandfather's house, and my cousin lived right next door, and he's 4 years older than me. So we'd always have this, like, they live out on the countryside. We always have these pickup games, like 5v5s. We play a bunch of crazy games. And I could spend days, weeks out there. I was always like, my mom just dropped me off and I stayed there and I played. And then I just kind of took that into the game, like the way I played out there, like the fun and all that. There was a lot of 1v1s and like dribbling, sizing up a guy. And I kind of brought that to my team where I was playing, and then like really early I started knowing that like it was getting a little bit easy on the training. I could score a lot of goals, and I thought it was really, really fun. And then like at the age of, I think I was like 12 or 11, I chose to just play football, like full time.
That was it.
Yeah.
Now the name of your team, is it Nyköping?
Yeah, like
am I close or am I really far away? That was a lucky guess.
It's like the thing with we have a different letter. Like, so in Swedish it's Nyköping.
Nyköping.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. Yeah,
but so
yeah,
I was way off. Yeah, actually, you were just being nice to me.
Yeah, but like the Americans say like Nyköping, so yeah. I feel like that's close enough.
Nyköping. Yeah. Okay. So talk about when you get into your first pro team. That's Elfsborg, right?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that and how it progressed to you ultimately becoming a first team player, because I think it's interesting for youth to understand this story and for the fan base.
Yeah. Like when I was 16 actually, I moved about 300 kilometers, so like 3 hours with a car. I moved to the city where Elfsborg is. The city is called Borås. I moved when I was 16 years old, and I went to sort of high school, I would say, and also playing for Elfsborg. So like there was some kind of, they were working together, the school and Elfsborg.
And so you leave your family.
Yeah, I left my family when I was 16.
That's a big piece there. Yeah, 16 years of age.
16 years old. I left my family to live alone. Went to school, training, and all that stuff. And I mean, I worked really, really hard. I remember I went there and I had like, I had kind of everything set up at home. Like I was playing the first team at home at a lower division team. But then when I decided to go, me and my family, we talked about it. And it was like, yeah, just go and give it everything because you can always return back home. You know that, like, that, mm-hmm. This is your safe place. Like, you can always go. Like, so just go ahead and give it 100%. So I did it. And then when I was, a bunch of stuff came with it. Like, I was in the national team when I was 17. I played a lot of games. And then when I was 18, on my 18th birthday, right after I graduated, I got signed my first pro team contract when I was 18 years old.
Yeah, and everybody loves that you got a left foot too as well. Yeah. So that's also nice. All right, yeah. So the differences between playing in the Swedish first division and MLS, I'm sure there's some differences. What would they be, and what would be the biggest adjustment for you when you came to this league? Because it wasn't easy for you coming in the middle of the season. Now you've got a full preseason. But what would be some of the comparing and contrasting of the Swedish first division and MLS?
I would say in Sweden, the football are a little bit more organized, really organized. Like, from a young age, we learn how to defend. It's really like teamwork, and that's all about Sweden, really. Like, and I can imagine like the difference is like the teams in Sweden is a lot harder to break down. So like the games could be a little bit slow, like it could be a little bit too tactical, and you're always working together as a team. I mean, in MLS, the game is more spread out. Like, it could be very much back and forward. It's very much speed, physical attributes, all that stuff.
Transitions
and all that stuff is way. And also, like, I would say that the quality is a step higher over here, because the individual quality is a bit higher here. But I would say that's probably the biggest difference. I feel like the organization, like in Sweden, it's a lot of focus on the team defensive shape and all that stuff, and how you're supposed to press. And almost in every country in Europe is really like that. Like, if you take Italy, for example, it's really tactical. And we're kind of leaning towards that. And over here, it's more free-flowing. It's a lot of individual skills. It's a lot of, like you said, transitioning back and forward. And I mean, it's a different style of play, but I enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
How big has the adjustment been? Because, you know, your first game in MLS, you're left-footed and you're playing right back, which any guy who knows is left-footed, it's not the most comfortable and easy thing to do at all. But now that you've had a full preseason, you've looked very confident in the games this year, and I think we're seeing what excites us is you going forward with the ball, and I know that's part of the game probably you like the most, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, last year I was kind of thrown in there like pretty fast. I kind of liked it though, because it didn't give me that much time to think. So it was just like, go in and do your job. And I was like, yeah. And then, like you said, now having a whole preseason, working with the guys in the team, the training staff, and just being around the team and just knowing everything more. And now we know each other, the players know each other better from last year. So, I mean, we have a very good core of people that's stayed intact. So I feel more comfortable, confident. I feel stronger, and I feel like as a team we're growing every day, and it's really exciting.
By the way, Adam, 3 appearances, 3 starts, had that wonderful assist to Mauro Manotas, that beautiful whipped in left footed ball earlier in the season. 2016, you get a full national team cap against Estonia.
Yeah,
tell me what you felt that day.
I mean, of course, I was proud. I was really proud. When I first got the call up, I was kind of surprised. I didn't even, like, I actually had a trip, because it's always like this. It's kind of, this game was at the beginning of the year, so the season is the same. So we had off season. So I booked a trip with my wife and everything. So we were
canceled.
I had to cancel everything or have to like change. So we end up going earlier and all that stuff. Yeah. And I remember like on the vacation, I was training like crazy. I was running every day to like be ready and prepared. And then also when I came there, it was like a lot of, like, because I played in the under 21 national team before, so it was a lot of my friends there. So
yeah, you had a lot of games at the youth international level for Sweden, so this was a natural progression.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, so like when I came there, I wasn't exactly alone. I felt I had a lot of friends that were there as well, but I wasn't. I mean, when I look back at it, it was a very proud moment for me, and it was a really fun experience.
So that was Adam Lundqvist, and that was part of our podcast series that you can catch throughout the year. We do them weekly. Some great content over at HoustonDynamo.com. Get over there, and you can hear interviews with A.J. De La Garza, Adam Lundqvist, Wilmer Cabrera weekly. Some interesting stuff, and it helps you follow the Houston Dynamo, but it also helps you find out a little bit more about the players. Okay, we're going to take a break here. More to come on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. And again, a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Bilingual. They will cover you and work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, I saw John Daspit at a mutual friend's wedding. A very big congratulations to former American University soccer player Michael Grinsfelder and his new wife, Michaela. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. 1, 2, 3. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Messi got there first. Still Messi. Oh, what a goal! Keep their concentration, Manchester United. Not to allow this fella to take them on again. Oh, goodness me, it's a gift. David De Gea with a horrible moment, and Messi's got another one. But if the first one was brilliant, that one was totally bizarre.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on. What a year it is for women's soccer. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. And just a reminder here. The Houston Dynamo on the Cube, that is where the Dynamo are located television-wise. So join Eddie Robinson, myself, Cindy Bourbano. We do a free, full pre- and post-game show, Cube 57. It is the home of the Houston Dynamo. But I'm switching gears now. With the FIFA Women's World Cup this summer, NWSL action underway. It's a great time to talk to a very, very talented player, young player. Christy Mewis joining us of the Houston Dash right now. Christy, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Glenn, and I also wouldn't call myself young, but thank you for saying that.
Well, in relation to my age, yes, you are very young, so but that's okay. And she's not young with experience because she has played a number of places, and we're going to get into that in a second. But the first thing is I think a lot of people, certainly I was excited to hear that you were back and you were training again after your injury.
Yeah, super excited. It was a long time, but it was, I mean, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the process in general and stuff, but I'm so happy to be back now, and I can't wait for the season to start.
Yeah, what are some of the emotions? Because having been injured myself on pro teams, I always felt that I was very detached from the team. Even though you're trying to convince yourself you are, you just don't feel the full part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like with any injury, obviously, you always feel, like a little bit left out, a little bit just on the outside and stuff like that. But I think last year, when I initially injured myself, I still had about half the season with the girl, so... they all saw me jogging for the first time after my surgery, and I would go out to practices and go to all the games and stuff still. So you just kind of have to just take it for what it is and be a part of the team as much as you possibly can. So it is hard because you do feel a little bit detached, but all the girls just made it seem like I was, just as much a part of the team as I would be if I was playing.
She's Christy Mewis of the Houston Dash. You can get out to Dash games this year. This is going to be a good season for the Houston Dash in the NWSL. Born in Weymouth, Massachusetts, which is very interesting to me because you went to Boston College as well. When you're going through the process of getting yourself back to the level that you need to be, and it is time-consuming, and it's long, and it's fatiguing, and it's a stress mentally, what are some of those things that you thought about during those time periods?
It is really hard just because you kind of have to, like, coach your body to basically, you kind of have to teach your body how to do everything again. But physically, it wasn't really, like, an issue for me. I think it's more it's the mental side of the game. So it's, like, mentally telling yourself you can do all these things that you used to be able to do, even though you don't think you'll be able to. So I think it's probably, like, I would consider it to be an 80% mental thing and 20% physical, because your body actually can do these things, but you're just telling yourself that you can't. But, yeah, I mean, it was obviously a struggle. I think it's a struggle for everybody just to that was my first real injury that I have ever had, a serious one at least, where I needed surgery. So it was just weird that my body kind of wasn't really listening to me, and it kind of messed up in a way that, like, obviously I didn't want that to happen. So it was weird trying to trust my body again. But it didn't happen overnight. It happened very, very gradually. So every day you just feel better and better, and you trust yourself more and more every day.
All right, let's switch gears here. When was it that moment that you just said to yourself, you know what, soccer's my game? What age did that happen? And maybe what were the major influences that kind of led you that way?
I think I probably when I was 8 or 9 years old, when I was watching the 99 World Cup, and I'm sure everyone who's my age said that same time, because just that moment when they won that World Cup, I was just like, wow, I want to do that, or I want to be just as good as them. I want to play professional soccer. So I think probably around 8 years old, because, I mean, just at that age, like, everyone, I think every girl who was into soccer as much as I was saying that after that World Cup.
She's Christy Mewis joining us. Obviously, your sister Sam Mewis had a goal for the United States in their win over Belgium recently, and all those 99ers were there. And it's amazing, you know, to me, when I hear how many current players say the same thing. It is remarkable to know what a reach these women had. You have an interesting career, because as you look at the clubs, and being 28 years young, like I said you were, you know, you went through some of the lean years also. So you've played on Canberra, United FC, obviously Land Down Under, FC Kansas City, Boston Breakers. I believe you played maybe in Japan, Bayern Munich, Washington Spirit. This hasn't been easy to forge a career in professional soccer, has it?
No, it's definitely not easy. But I think everyone can kind of say the same thing, that you just want to play. Like, any opportunity that you get, you just have to jump at it. You know, you're only young once. You only have these. You can only play soccer for so many years of your life, and I think you just kind of have to take advantage of every opportunity you get. Like, there was no way I was saying no to going to Japan. There was no way I was saying no to going to Germany. I just think those are memories and stories and experiences that have built me and made me the player that I am today. And I think I'm just going to look back on those days and just remember, like, wow, I did that. I played soccer in Japan. I played soccer in Germany. I've played for teams all around the country. I think those are just the things that make me the player that I am and then the person that I am.
So tell me a little bit about your time at Bayern Munich, because to me, Germany is as great a soccer culture as on the planet, quite frankly. I mean, there's so many great ones, but Germany certainly is one of them. What was it like playing at Bayern Munich, and maybe a good story or two from there?
yeah, I mean, it's such a prestigious club. I mean, I remember I walked into the, like, the meal hall that we went into, and that was the time that Pep was the coach. So all of us, like, he would walk in every now and then when we were eating lunch, and all of us would just, like, drool over him. We loved him so much just because he's an amazing coach. So we would see him in there and kind of, you know, like, choke up our lunch or whatever. But yeah, I mean, playing for Bayern Munich, it's such an amazing club. I got to play in a Champions League game. It was such a great experience. And obviously my family and friends came over to visit me. I went to Oktoberfest, of course, which was, like, the best day of my life.
awesome.
So it was unreal. I mean, I had such a good experience over there, and yeah, it was awesome.
So you were dressed up in the traditional garb, because you see all the Bayern Munich players in the Lederhosen.
I unfortunately didn't get one of the nice ones. I think all those girls over there get like really expensive ones. I got like a $40 one at some cheap store just because I was only going to be over there for a certain amount of time. But yeah, we had a good time with it. It was really fun.
And how big was the beer stein you were holding?
Probably twice the size of my head, which is pretty big.
I am always stunned how large those beer steins are. It's like, really? That'd take me a day to drink that.
I know.
Anyway, so then it was on to the Washington Spirit and Chicago Red Stars, and now down here to the Dash. And how have you seen the NWSL grow in your eyes?
So this is my seventh year in the league, so I was here from the very beginning since this is the seventh year of the league. So, I mean, I've seen it grow tremendously, like from me being a rookie to now things are, it is obviously slower than we would like. And obviously, you know, we want all these benefits and we want all the things that the men have. But it is obviously still is a process and we are growing. But it's definitely night and day from, you know, 7 years ago to now.
Yeah. Does it still seem like a fight sometimes to get the standards up in so many different ways professionally to where you ladies want it to be?
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of girls come from college where a lot of college teams, you know, you get your own facilities and you get, you know, really good treatment centers and, you know, endless gear and stuff like that. So it is interesting coming from college and then kind of coming into the NWSL, you know, where things are still growing and we're trying to make a name for ourselves. But I think we're in good hands and, you know, there's so many people putting in a lot of effort to make this league better. And obviously the players where, you know, we just are playing and trying to just make women's soccer better in the country. And I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Christy Mullins joining us of the Houston Dash, also has played 15 times for the United States national team, a reminder of the caliber of player we're talking about here. Does it get tiring constantly, you know, selling the game? And, you know, because I know in my day in the 80s, I probably did 10 clinics for every game I played.
Yeah, it does, but it's just so worth it. I mean, I, like, couldn't ask to do, like, I am just so happy with what I'm doing, and I try not to take advantage of it ever. Like, this is just something that, obviously, like I said before, you can only do it for so long, and I'm doing what I've, since I was a little girl, since I was 4 or 5 years old, I've been able to do what I love, and now I'm getting paid to do it. So, you know, everything that you have to do for it and all, like, the hours and, you know, how, like, the injuries and everything, all of it is just so worth it, and I couldn't ask to be doing anything else.
I'm getting the sense that this summer this could be the most competitive World Cup ever, just with the obvious acceleration of programs around the world. And some will say it's not fast enough, but it certainly has accelerated. Nations like the Netherlands, Spain, some of these countries that are just remarkably at such a higher level now. I'm thinking that there's going to be a lot that's going to come out of this World Cup that's going to enhance the women's game here in the U.S.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, just from watching a couple of the friendlies that have been going on between teams, it's so competitive. The skill level is unbelievable. I think this World Cup is, I mean, I think it's obviously going to be the best one that there is yet. It's going to be so, so competitive. I think there's a lot of top teams, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, so I'm excited.
Tell us a little bit about Dash training these days, the new makeup of the team, new coach James Clarkson. Let's give you a little platform to talk about the current team and kind of what's going on heading into 2019.
We have an amazing coach right now. I mean, I love him so far. but James is awesome. I mean, he's so down to earth. He's laid back, but also knows how to keep us working hard and keep every single practice intense and competitive. I think one of his number one things is competitiveness, and we're going to compete every single day. So I think that being implemented every single day is so, so important, because it's so easy to slack off in practices sometimes or, you know, not give it your all. But his drills and everything that we do every single day is about competing and about winning. And I think that now that's kind of getting ingrained into our heads that every time we step on the pitch, we have to win. So I think that's super, super important, and I think we're going to have a really good year.
Christy, do you watch a lot of games?
Of NWSL games?
Yeah, well, NWSL, any games. Do you watch a lot of soccer?
Yeah, I do. I love watching the Premier League. And then obviously I watch all the NWSL games and stuff like that and all the international games. So, yeah.
Do you watch them in a way that, you know, maybe you're looking at somebody you're going to potentially play against, some of their tendencies? How do you watch the games?
Yeah, well, if I'm watching, if I'm watching the Premier League or something like that, I try to watch my position and see their movements and what they're doing and what works and what doesn't work. And then obviously when we watch the NWSL games, we look for strengths and weaknesses and what, and obviously tendencies and who I'm up against, what they're good at, what they're bad at, where can I expose them. I try to watch the game as much as I possibly can to just to learn.
If you weren't a professional soccer player, what would you be doing? Let's have a little fun here.
Oh, God, I don't know. I would love to, in a beautiful, beautiful world, I would love to travel for years, like just travel all over the world. I'm sure everybody would love to do that. But, yeah, I would love to just travel. I don't know what I would be doing for an actual career. But,
well, I think that's a good way to get prepared for getting to work one day. So, yeah, traveling the world sounds like a good thing. I'd like to try that one day myself.
Yeah.
What do you do in your spare time to get away from the game other than travel?
Well, we just got a new puppy. She was a stray dog, so we took her in. She's about 3 months old, so that's kind of my life right now. I love Netflix. I love TV shows. And then just some active stuff, just like, you know, going on long walks or just stuff like that. All the usual stuff that girls say.
So very nice. I like all this. And by the way, you know, you're heavy into training right now, so it's not about getting out and about the town. It's about recovering, I know. So it's kind of, I should probably ask you this question down the road. But with your dog, are you crate training the dog? How are you training the dog?
She has a crate. She's learning. She actually sleeps really well, but she's teething right now because she's so young.
Yeah.
But she's the cutest little thing ever. We don't really know what kind of dog she is, but she's small. She weighs like 5.5 pounds. She's learning, but she's fitting in nice, and we love her.
And you got a couple teammates. You guys all live together and go to training together. Is that how it works?
Yeah, we're all about half of us are in an apartment complex, and then the other half, they have houses out in Pearland. A lot of us are together, and then, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's the way it was with me in the 80s. We got tired of seeing each other after a while, but that's guys, you know. I think women handle that a lot better than the guys do. Listen, Christy, thank you so much. I'm very grateful to know that you're healthy. I think the Dash fans are as well. I really enjoyed watching you play last year. I'm looking forward to this year, and I'm going to be down there on Sunday checking out the opener. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Let's do it again.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Glenn.
All right, that's Christy Mewis. You're going to want to watch her this year with the Houston Dash. 2019 NWSL season. We are off and running. We'll take a quick break here. Before we go to break here, though, just a quick reminder. Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. Marquee Entertainment Center. You know where it is when you're driving kind of west to Katy. 18 TVs, a big screen. Houston LFC, the Liverpool supporters group, goes there. This pub is gorgeous on the inside. All the woods, and it's brand spanking new. They got tables outside. Great food. I've gone over there and had breakfast there and watched a Liverpool game with some very passionate fans. So they are good times with Liverpool. So it's a good time to be watching games over at Hugh O'Connor. So 7620 Katy Freeway. We'll take a break. More to come.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Messi's pass. Jordi Alba, Coutinho, goes for goal, scores stunningly, and Barcelona
are surely into the semifinals of the Champions League.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And again, our thanks for all of you tuning in here tonight. Hey, some interesting news. Jesse Marsh, who's currently the assistant at Red Bull Leipzig, where Tyler Adams is playing. Well, guess what? Next year it's been announced. Red Bull Salzburg announcing Jesse Marsh will be their manager next year. So that's an interesting development and one to cover in the future. International Champions Cup, FC Bayern, Real Madrid, July 20th, Energy Stadium, Ticketmaster.com for your tickets. But as I've mentioned, we're going to continue to have a bunch of interviews around some of the players coming in and people around this incredible international event that we have in the ICC coming here to Energy Stadium. Ticketmaster.com for your tickets. But don't forget, we're going to have some tickets right here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 and through our social media outlets. So follow us or like us on Facebook, Soccer Matters. Follow us on Instagram, Glenn Davis Soc. Follow us on Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, as well. And this will increase your chances maybe to pick up some of those tickets. We love giving tickets away on this program, so our thanks to that. Now, speaking of that matchup, one of the ambassadors for this game is the legendary Lothar Matthäus. Played at FC Bayern, captain of the German 1990 World Cup winning squad. FC Bayern, obviously, again, taking on Real Madrid here in Houston. Here is a re-air of the interview I did with the legendary Lothar Matthäus. Lothar, how important is it in this day and age of modern football for Bayern Munich to be in places like Houston, Texas, and play in these international tournaments in other countries for branding?
It's not only for branding. It's the same preseason for Bayern Munich after their holiday. And they have the chance to play in Houston against Real Madrid. It's one of the top games ever what I was playing in my long career. I played a couple of times against Real Madrid. And we can speak about a friendly game. We can speak about a preseason. But it's a tough game for the teams, for the coach, for the fans. And the preseason is a preparing for the season. It's the most important time to make great, good results later. And for this, we are happy to have the chance to play against Real Madrid and Houston. We have another two games in Los Angeles and in Kansas City against Arsenal and against AC Milan. But I think the toughest game for Bayern Munich is the second game in Houston. And for this, we are very happy to have the chance to play far away from our country in North America, full stadium against the best team, club team from the last 5 years.
Lothar, what's one of your fondest memories from playing against Real Madrid?
I told you, two big clubs with a long history, two big clubs with a lot of titles, national titles, international titles, Champions League winners, World Cup winners in the team. And the same on the bench with Zinedine Zidane. It's a great name on Real Madrid. Niko Kovac has not this care like Zinedine Zidane, coach from Bayern Munich, but he has the same long life in the soccer business, like a national coach from Croatia, captain of the Croatian national team, player from Bayern Munich, and another teams in the Bundesliga. And I think this club has a history. And I can tell you a nice story. I find it out 10 minutes ago. My last official game for Bayern Munich was on the 9th of March 2000. And I played against Real Madrid. I won 4-1 in the Champions League game. One day later, I was moving from Munich to New York and played my last season in the MLS for the Metro Stars New York. This means Real Madrid and myself, we have a nice memory, especially for me. My last game in the stadium in Munich, official game for Bayern Munich, was against Real Madrid before I was moving to U.S.
By the way, I called some of your games on television when you were playing for the Metro Stars in Major League Soccer, so I remember your time here well. Bayern Munich was formed in 1900. For us here in the United States, that's hard to believe maybe how old the club is. How has the history and the tradition been kept alive so well by this club?
But I have to tell, we have another clubs in Germany that are older than Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich is not the oldest club, but we have We have a long history, and Bayern Munich till today is the club who won the most championship titles in Germany, the most Champions League title for a German club team. And Bayern Munich has always the best player in the last 40, 50 years who was playing for the German national team. And when Bayern Munich played well, the national team was profited from this too. Bayern Munich has really a long, long story, and you need time to explain everything. But when a player from Germany has the chance to play for Bayern Munich, I think he will play for Bayern Munich, because a player likes to win titles, and the easiest way, and the toughest way too, is to play for Bayern Munich and win titles.
We are talking to Lothar Matthäus ahead of Bayern Munich's visit this summer to Houston to play in the ICC against legendary Real Madrid. And, of course, Lothar is one of only three men in soccer history to have played in five World Cups. When you look at the game now, how much has it changed from the day you played it?
Especially the speed was changing. Is changing a lot in the last 15, 20 years. The organization from the team, the players play different systems. The players can play different positions. Many, many small things changing. But on the end, you have to score the goals, then you win the games, and then you win the titles. But the game is much more faster than 20 years ago.
Let's talk about the current Bayern Munich and maybe some of the players we're going to see. We saw that Lucas Hernandez has just been signed from Atletico Madrid, a huge signing here with big money, a defender. What are some of your thoughts on the current Bayern Munich?
Bayern Munich is not satisfied to win only the nationals, and for this you have to invest in the team. And I think with Hernandez, we get a World Cup winner from France from last year. And he is a young player, he's a talented player, and I think he has high potential. And with this potential, maybe you can make your dream true to win the Champions League. And this is a title what Bayern Munich like to win every year. This year it's not anymore possible, because Bayern Munich lost against Liverpool in the second round of the Champions League. But this was motivation enough to go to invest money to buy a high level of player. And now in Bayern Munich, we have three French players who was winning the World Cup 8 months ago in Russia.
Yeah, the other one of the others, Benjamin Pavard. What are your thoughts on him, the defender?
Yes, it's the same like Hernandez. Pavard is playing in the Bundesliga by Stuttgart, and sure, Hernandez has more experience. And we have with Toulis another guy from France. He's now long time injured, and with this player, Bayern Munich will make attack to the English Premier League clubs and the Spanish clubs from Barcelona and Real Madrid in the next years to win the Champions League title.
We're talking to Lothar Matthäus, the legendary German captain. 90, Germany won the World Cup. He lifted the trophy as the captain. Do you think back on that moment a lot, Lothar? Because what a spectacular moment that was.
It was a very emotional moment, especially where World Cup was in Italy, final was in Rome. And in this time, I played for Italian club, for Inter Milan. And this was like a home World Cup for me in this moment. And sure, when you are the captain in the team who win the World Cup, and you get the World Cup from the president, from FIFA, and for your team, for your country, for your fans, was a very emotional moment, and I will never forget this moment till today.
Do you often reflect back on things in your career, or do you look ahead constantly? Because, you know, we've heard of so many footballers that end their career and they can never really replace it with anything, because there's nothing they feel can feel as good as playing at these high levels and being successful. How has that occurred for you post-playing career?
I know the career has sometime an end when you come in the age, and I was enjoying every day to go to the training. I was enjoying every day when I had a game with my team, and I was enjoying each moment till end of my career. But I'm still close to the soccer, because I work for the DB, I write for the German newspapers, and I present Bayern Munich like an ambassador now in the summer tour for this ICC Cup. I present the German Football League and the German Football Federation. I'm very happy with life, and I will nothing change.
Lothar Matthäus joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We really appreciate the time, Lothar. when you transitioned into being a manager. How difficult was that? And how long did it really take for you to understand what a manager was about?
I was the captain in the team, and when you are captain, you are mostly you think like a manager. And I was thinking about the tactic. I had conversation with my coaches, and I think this helped me later a lot to be a manager. And this was something different because you was this guy who has to care about everything, and this is only about the team. You have meetings with the manager of the players. You have the meeting with the sponsors. You have the meeting with the president, the owner of the club, with many things. You have to do more like a player. The player is coming to the training session, make his training 1-2 times per day for 1.5 hours. He gets advice what he has to do. But you have to plan everything in the details, and not only for your team. You have to look at another team. You have to plan the future, the young generation player, new player. You have to sell the player. It's a very, very tough job, and for this, I'm really happy for a coach when he has done the right results. These coaches are working from the morning till the evening. They are dreaming soccer in the night. I'm very happy for them when they make the results.
Lothar Matthäus joining us, legendary career at Bayern Munich, over 300 appearances. Bayern Munich will be in Houston to take on Real Madrid this summer, July 20th. Lothar will be in Houston. Lothar, have you ever been to Houston, Texas?
Never. Never. And for this, I'm very happy to come to Houston on the 20th of July. Very, very happy to be. It's an honor for me, first, to be with Bayern Munich on this tour. And second, it's nice for me to see Houston. And for this, I love soccer so much because always you get a new experience. You can see something new. And I heard Houston is a beautiful city. Houston is a city where the people like soccer, especially the Mexican people. And I'm sure we will have a full stadium when we have our game on July 20 against Real Madrid.
Yeah, and you know what? We have a lot of Asians, Nigerians. We got communities from all over the world here that love the sport. And by the way,
yeah, but I hope they're supported by Munich, not Real Madrid.
Well, you know, I think they're gonna. I think you're gonna find some Germans finding their way down here. By the way,
okay.
Historically, a lot of Germans settled in the state of Texas and in and around Houston, and there are towns around Houston with very German names. So, no, don't worry. We got one or two German restaurants,
too. Then I will see the German and the Bayern Munich flags.
Yes. I'm going to make sure of that. I'll be the one guy in the upper deck waving it. No, we're gonna make sure. There'll be a lot of Bayern Munich fans here. I don't think any question because of the history of the club. One or two more questions, then we're going to let you go real fast here. Current German national team obviously has a lot of the great Bayern Munich players. Talk about what you saw in that 3-2 win over the Netherlands.
I'm very happy we have now a good result, not only a good game. Sure, it was not a great time for German football, for the German national team the last 8 months, especially the result during the World Cup make us upset. We cannot be happy with the performance of the team, but sometimes happen like this. But we forgive the player because I'm sure they will show something different in the future. We had a great result against Holland in the first qualification game for the European Champion 2020. And I think we have talented players, we have young players, we have players who play with passion. We have really good young players, and I'm sure soon they will make the result what we wish for the German football.
Lothar Matthäus, more German caps than anyone else, and he is... went on to 9 major international tournaments. Again, he captained the 1990 World Cup team. Anything else you want to say to Houston, Lothar, concerning Bayern Munich and the visit here this summer? So excited that this historic club is going to be in Houston.
I think when you love soccer, when you like soccer, when you're a fan of soccer, you have to watch the game on July 20 in the stadium in Houston between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, I will tell you, and you can trust me, will come with the first team. Everybody who is ready to play will be in Houston on the pitch.
Lothar, thank you very, very much for coming on the program here. We really appreciate your time, and thank you. And we look forward to your visit to Houston.
Okay, thank you very much, and we'll see each other soon.
So that does it here tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Again, a reminder, podcastarena.com and iTunes to listen to this show wherever and whenever your heart's desire. As always, a big thank you to Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza for their support on this show. Andrew's producer has stepped in wonderfully. Victor, incredibly talented, helping us out as well. as always, and as a member of Soccer Matters. So we thank those two guys. Sometimes it's unsung being a little bit behind the scenes, so they know I appreciate them. That'll do it tonight. Next week, more to come. Again, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters, Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. Until next week, remember, soccer matters.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.